Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa. If my voice sounds a little tired, it's because we just did the podcast for Tuesday. We just recorded an entire show. But our producer has chiggers. It's a weird disease that involves a parasitic kind of a bug, and it puts things in your poo, and then it goes through your body and makes things unpleasant. So our producer could not be here today on the day when we have a brand new console that we're recording through. And we recorded a version that sounded terrible.
It was a little underwater-ish.
And we here at Come to Papa feel like we've come a long way. We, before our producer was came down with chiggers, they got us to a place where our listeners, our fans, our loyal Come to Papa podcast listeners who are listening to us right now on iTunes or Stitcher or All Things Comedy or SoundCloud, whatever device, whatever way, you've come to expect a certain level of excellence from us.
Yes, that's what I would say.
And we just couldn't release it. We couldn't release what we had recorded, so we are rebooting and doubling down, which is okay, because I feel like there was a lot of tech stuff going on anyway. I feel a little more warmed up and relaxed.
Yeah.
I feel like this is more the Come to Papa that we... if you want to see the old one, if you want to see the one that we recorded that didn't make it, it's on Facebook Live. All our friends at Facebook Live got to see it. And it was fine. It was okay. It's not like this. This one's so much better already.
I mean, we're on the charts now. We have a level of expectation from fans that we have the top of the line equipment. We have the top podcast. That's what we want.
That's what we want. We're not going to stop until we're the biggest thing on all of podcast land. And so here we are, giving you excellence. If you can hear a little chompy chomp in the background... my beautiful dog Bella is eating some sourdough crust right now. My baking skills, as you know, are second to none. I create some of the best sourdough in the United States. And, of course, my dog is as excited about this as the rest of the family.
Yeah.
My family has sourdough toast every day. It eats sourdough for lunch. It has sourdough sometimes, and this sounds weird, with a pasta. When we forget to make a baguette, they'll break out the sourdough and have it.
It's bread.
It's bread, but it's as an Italian, it's hard for me to do that. my puppy loves it so, because my wife fed her a couple times from the cutting board. So now, anytime I go in there to cut it, this dog comes running. It could be in the next state. And it hears the knife and comes running and wants its sourdough in a bad way.
And it's like that cartoon, like whenever you could see the smell of the food. Remember, like the mice would like start dancing and their feet would come off the ground. Like that's what Bella does.
Yeah, she just floats into the kitchen. I caught her last night. It was really funny. She didn't know I was in the living room. I'm learning that the dog's not that bright. I'm in the living room. And she doesn't know because my wife is going downstairs and she's obsessed with my wife. That's her first love. So she notices that my wife has gone down and she just lets out a whimper a little. Where's my buddy? And then you think she's just going to stay on the top of the stairs and pine for her master.
Mm-hmm.
She tiptoes and I watch her, the dog, tiptoe into the kitchen and paws up on the counter and starts licking everything in sight. She was where her food is kept and everything in crumbs, and she was just going to town. So she was like, she was pretending, oh, where are you going? I'm so sad you're downstairs. I'm just going to go in here in my bed and be sad now. Started eating everything off the counter like a sneak.
And you just had like a giant wheel of bread and she's still looking for something else to eat.
Well, that's the thing. It's too late. And, you know, as the baker, the master baker, the sultan of sourdough that I am, of course I take it as a compliment.
Yes.
That she loves the bread so much. She's not getting the first day bread. But that heel of that sourdough is about a week old.
Yeah.
There's no way that you could have bitten through it.
She would still be sucking
on it like a lollipop. She devoured it in 30 seconds. Her jaws are powerful. This is why you got to train the hell out of them, because you see her teeth. It's like, oh, if they do bite you, you are so screwed.
Yeah, she still looks like she doesn't realize how big she is or how strong she is.
We've had a couple things. Like, you forget this animal's only been on the planet for 4 months, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, it's so new. And you forget that they're just babies and they're going through all these different, you know, growth spurts and change of personality. And we were walking on the street, and she didn't like something about the leash or the collar and started jumping up and trying to bite.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like playful, but then she let out a little like growl, like, and the teeth. And
yeah.
Immediately, your instinct goes up, like, yeah. Oh, hell no. So now I'm on the street, like, yanking this leash, holding her to the ground.
Yeah, and then you look like the bad
You look like this bad guy who's, like, abusing your animal, but, you know. I keep thinking about the dogs in terms of, like, if I lived on a farm, I'd be tending to the goats and my heavy wife and my kids with learning disabilities and the cows and the chickens and all the rest of it, fixing the tractor, going out and mending the hole in the fence. You got to do that a lot of the times. Fending off the guys that want to buy up your land and dig for oil. There's a lot going on. And there's a dog circulating around your little puppy. You're not hiring a trainer.
Yeah.
You're not looking up YouTube videos and how to parent, quote unquote, parent mm-hmm. your pet. You're kicking it with your cowboy boot and saying, get over here, dog, and giving it a bone. And
yeah.
If it tries to bite you, you sock it in the nose.
Well, they have five dogs.
Not that I'm saying you should sock an animal in its nose, but you do understand there's somewhere in between living on a farm dog and living in L.A. dog.
Yeah.
Of the happy medium of where the dog's going to learn not to do certain things and that they're serious and I'm not going to pay that much attention to it.
Yeah, because in other terms, like, as I grew up, like, in a rural area, and those farmers had, like, eight dogs.
Yeah.
And the one who goofed around got shot. Like, that's they're not about messing around. They need dogs that can do some work.
Right, exactly. We don't need no troubles here. We just got Junior's hand caught in the till. we can't be messing with no dog. When I was in Africa, we took a balloon ride, and we ended up in this strange village somewhere where we crashed our balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And all the local guys came running, who just, like, live in the, you know, the plains of Africa. And this one guy literally had 15 dogs with him. None of them looked like they had eaten in the last month.
Yeah.
Just hungry, biting each other, like a real pack situation. There's a couple that were cool and in control. There were a couple that were biting and a couple getting bit. And this guy with his stick was in control of all of them, hitting all of them. And, you know,
right.
There's a wildness to all of this. So, you know, my dog sitting here in L.A. eating sourdough bread can't turn on me and bite. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, I watched. There was a ESPN thing about this dog. There's like some sport called adventuring or something mm-hmm. like that, where you have to go. It's like one of those weird triathlon things, like you canoe, then you hike, and
right.
then you, I forget what the last one was, but basically, like, they were in Ecuador. Like, they go in the middle of nowhere. Like, they go mountain peaks and through deserts and stuff like that.
Wow.
And they noticed this dog was following them.
Right.
And the dog was, like, kind of all dirty and had sores and stuff like that. But the dog just kept following them, like, for miles. I'm talking, like, they're going, like, 400 miles through Ecuador. And the last leg, they all get in a canoe.
Oh.
And they were sad because you can't bring the dog on the canoe.
Oh.
And they... So they leave, And then all of a sudden they hear a splash, and the dog is swimming after them.
Oh, my God.
So the dog, they bring the dog in the canoe, so it does another 14 hours in a canoe. And then after the thing's over, this guy's from Sweden, and the dog might die because it's just beaten up, you know, yeah. It has all kinds of diseases. So the dog flies, they fly it to Sweden, has to be quarantined for like 6 months, and then now it lives in Sweden with this family. But it became like this national story, and he's on like talk shows and stuff like that.
Wow.
Like, it's
That's
kind
amazing.
Of crazy, you know?
I know, they're very, very loyal. My dog, you know, they always say like dogs are so loyal and they do whatever. This dog, I don't know. Does that come with... It must come with time. Like, you know, she's 4 months old. There's certain... like, she's loyal and will follow me around as long as she knows I have treats in my pocket. But if we're in the backyard and it's going in the... in, like, that back section where she's just finding all mangy toys, you can't see her. It's, like, below the porch.
Mm-hmm.
If I call her from that spot, if she's more interested in whatever garbage she's digging up, she doesn't come.
Right.
She doesn't come at all. Someone told me that 7 months is the time. My wife ran into some guy and said, training them now is like they'll get some of it. But once they hit 7 months, that's when it switches.
Yeah.
And he said, and his wife has somebody who comes to the house and literally in 15 minutes, it's a brand new dog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm hanging on to that story. If that comes true, I'll be really
psyched. Well, I know that like if you don't do anything early on, like if you just kind of leave the dog by itself, there's no turning back from that. So if like
yeah,
it doesn't. If it was a bad dog from the beginning, then I don't know how much you can save it. But
yeah, the biting thing, you just got to, you know, you don't want him to bite. And you don't want the big things are I don't want her to bite. I don't want her to jump up on people when they come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
She gets super excited. She's got to be chill and right. I mean, that's pretty good. Like with you just
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That's different from when you would come over before when she'd go batshit crazy on
right.
you. And the peeing. She still doesn't let us know when she wants to go out. And then you'll just step in some pee.
But it's also like the behavior aspect. Like, my favorite movie was, remember, I think it was Funny Farm with Chevy Chase. Remember they got this dog that like, you know, they're like, we want a dog that runs and plays. We got a country dog. So then, the dog just started running and it just kept running
kept going,
and
I
just never
that.
Came back. So then they got like a dog that was like guaranteed to not leave it all. And it just like lays by the fireplace and it's like tails in the fire, but it's still like just laying there. And he's loyal. He doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's early. I guess she'll really learn to... My favorite part of the dog is when I'm writing in the morning, the dog comes in and is just chill and sleeps under the desk
mm-hmm.
or just plays with whatever bone or whatever. That to me is like, all right, this is good.
Yeah.
This is a good experience.
It's just when outside stuff hit her, that's when she's still trying to get used to stuff.
Yeah. They're just nuts. They're literally just nuts. We just got done with a gigantic monsoon here in Los Angeles, California. And look, we whine about our weather and we will, everybody laughs at us because we get a little rain. This is no joke. It is the end of January. It's been raining since before Christmas.
Yeah, it's monsoons.
We literally had monsoons and the drought is over. We've got over 200% water in L.A. in our reservoir, in our lake, river, whatever. And then we've got over 170%
mm-hmm.
over what we need in the Sierra Nevadas and the snowpack, which is where we get most of our water. So, dude, back to long showers.
Yeah.
Flushing just for fun when you walk through the bathroom. It is over.
Yeah, I just filled up a pail and threw it in the street this morning just because I felt good about it. You know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Why not?
Just waste it.
Yeah, please. We're drowning. We really didn't. It's amazing what happened. But enough already.
Mm-hmm.
How about some 70-degree days? I was going to go for a run this morning. It was 40. 40. And I know you people all around the world and well, it's been negative 20 here. We're going to go to Minneapolis in a couple weeks. We're going to be I know. But I live in Los Angeles, which isn't the best place in the world. You know, there's not we sacrifice things like loyalty and family connections and souls
and genuine feelings.
for good weather.
Yes.
We need to, when it's raining for a month and a half here, you don't even realize what you're doing, and you're walking in the house with packing boxes.
Right. Weather's not a factor.
You literally are like, all right, it's time to get out of here. So enough already. It's over. We fixed the drought. It really is kind of fascinating. And I mentioned this before, I'm sure. I put it in one of the Come to Papa Live shows. John Steinbeck, you know, the great writer who wrote Mice and Men and a bunch of great books. He wrote in...
Grapes of Wrath, right?
Did he?
I think he's Grapes of Wrath, isn't he?
He wrote in East of Eden, he wrote a thing about the droughts in California. And that you go, he said, during the dry periods, everybody forgets the rain. And during the rain, everybody forgets the dry periods. And he was saying, like, every 3 years, it's a cycle that goes around every 3 years. Uh-huh. It'll be dry, bone dry for 3 years, and then it'll rain heavily for a couple of years. And it just, that's the cycle of it.
Yeah.
So when people were freaking out about the drought, I'm like, no, we're going to get it next year, the third year. We'll get it. And we didn't get it. And it was like, all right, so maybe this is serious. But it only was a year late.
Yeah.
And it came, and it came hard, and now we've all forgotten about how dry it used
to be. Right,
right. You're right. Of Mice and Men, The Grapes of Wrath, which I never read.
Well, that was
East of Eden's a great book. Do you ever read East of Eden?
No, I haven't. That's what
really good. And Travels with Charlie, I never read that one either.
But Grapes of Wrath was about the whole Dust Bowl thing.
Yeah. No, he's a serious, serious writer. And he's also a weatherman and predicted the right thing for L.A. We said on the other podcast, and I think it bears repeating, I did a fancy gig this weekend for some very important people in Los Angeles, California. And I got to meet a basketball legend.
Yes.
Jerry West.
But you did not know that.
I did. I had no idea who he was. I'll admit it. I'm not a baseball historian, and I know you're thinking you only have to kind of know baseball to know Jerry West. I knew
basketball.
It was basketball. I knew it was somebody that I should have known. So I totally broke out my acting skills and let it be known what an honor it was to meet him. This is so great. I can't believe it. And then, which I thought was good, and it was a nice thing for me to do. And then I said to him, did you laugh? Because it was after my set. I said, did you laugh? And he said, yeah, kind of. And I was like, I don't care if you're a legend. I'm done with you.
It is so funny how just somebody liking you opens the relationship up so much more. Like if
I once bought artwork from a guy who made very mediocre artwork
yeah.
at a flea market because he recognized me.
Uh-huh.
This was like 5 years ago. This was like when it was just starting to be recognized once in a while. And he was like, oh, man, I love your comedy. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I found myself pulling $200 out of my pocket to buy his artwork. My wife's like, you just did that because he recognized you. I'm like, no, I really like his work.
Yeah, he's nice. It goes a long way.
Yeah. So I pretended that I knew this guy.
But he's the logo for the NBA, like the patch that anything that has the NBA insignia on it, it's Jerry West.
I get it, Paul. He's a big deal. I get it.
Well, with the Lakers, we didn't grow up in the LA. I'm always surprised when anybody likes the Lakers because I just grew up in a place where everyone hated it. It's like liking the Cowboys. Like,
right, exactly. Those football games stunked this weekend.
Yes, but Atlanta looking tough. Rise up, as they say.
That's their thing?
Yeah.
Ugh. They're so boring.
You can't root for the Patriots. What's wrong with you?
I don't mind rooting for the Patriots when the Giants aren't playing them.
Oh, you got to root for them all time. That's the team that you root against.
No, I root against the Eagles. I root against the Cowboys.
They're cheaters, Tom. They've cheated for a living. They might not have one legitimate Super Bowl.
Because they just cheat all the time? Don't you think everybody cheats?
But every one of the years where I don't think that... I mean, they basically had a library of tapes of people practicing. Like, They had a secret library. Like, that's crazy. Like, they did to, like, the extremes, you know?
Right.
I mean, they had a whole, like, it was part of the system that they would just cheat. So,
yeah.
So the fact that they got caught for that and then started doing all the stuff with the balls.
Do you think the ball thing, like, I'm sure people are done talking about this, but do you think that they gave him that penalty because it wasn't just for that, it was for years of screwing around kind
of thing?
Well,
that's what you don't know. It's kind of like whenever a college gets in trouble for, like, giving a kid a free plane ticket, it's like,
yeah.
I bet you this guy has a house somewhere. That,
right.
You know, it's just like... They don't want to embarrass the league, and they don't want to embarrass the guy, but they still need to punish him. So,
well, I tell you, and I have a pretty a good sense of the culture. I'm thinking people aren't going to be that excited about this Super Bowl. It seems a little bit of a snoozer to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Atlanta's having, like, one of those years, like Seattle had a couple years ago. Like, they just are playing as they've had a great season.
They had a great season. Their quarterback is amazing.
They score a lot of points, and so the Patriots. So I think it might be.
It might be an exciting game. But it might be, technically, for a football fan, an exciting game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the culture, I bet the ratings are going to be low this year. I don't think it gives that. It's not that sexy for some reason.
Yeah,
maybe it's just my attitude during this weekend, being bummed out that those were blowout games when I was sitting at home during a monsoon with my pots out, collecting water falling from my ceiling in multiple places in my house.
Yeah,
I just felt like those games stunk, and by the time it was over, I was like, "Pu."
Well, I just don't want any time a Super Bowl is just like 3-3 at halftime. Those are the ones that I can't stand. I'd rather see, like, scoring or at least some kind of action. So as long as they're both scoring, then that's...
Aren't we in Minneapolis the weekend of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to schedule those flights home early.
We got to fly back early. The game's at 3:30, I think, here.
Here. So as long as we leave by 9.
Yeah, that's another one where it's like Red Wing is like... an hour or so from Minneapolis, maybe.
I know. And then you can't catch like the 6 o'clock flight. You'd be leaving at 4 a.m. unless you double up on the hotels and go stay by the airport.
Yeah, that's what I didn't know.
Do you know we're playing for all of our sports fans out there? Go to tompapa.com. You can get all these tickets and stuff. But we are going off to Napa and Livermore, California. You're doing a Northern California run this weekend. The Uptown Theater and the Bankhead Theater. I think they're almost sold out, but you can still get a couple tickets. And then we're going to Minneapolis and Red Wing, Minnesota the weekend after that. Do you know, and I know you do because I said it during the first podcast, so you don't pretend like you don't know it. You don't have to pretend for our people. You can say it out loud. Do you know what Red Wing is known for?
Birds?
I can't believe you forgot. Boots, the Red Wing Boots, the boot company, the boot people.
I don't know boots. I live in California. What do I need boots for?
Do you have a pair of shoes?
I have like dress shoes, yeah.
One pair of dress shoes?
For funerals and weddings.
And then everything's sneakers. You're big.
Yeah.
You're the big collector of different kinds Nikes and Adidas.
I'm from the Letterman School of... You wear really nice sneakers with a nice suit.
He did that for a couple weeks in the 80s. Then he went to loafers. He was a big loafer guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what are you wearing? This looks very retired.
Right now I'm wearing Vans because because of the monsoon, my dog has been inside cooped up forever. We had to go outside today. We just had to go to the yard, even though it's mud filled.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with having a dog in inclement weather, which I did not sign up for at all, is that you've got to go walk around you ruins your shoes as soon as you go outside and they get caked with mud and you come in, you got to change 5 pairs of shoes every time you walk the goddamn dog. So I'm out there and I come in, I can't be putting on Converse and lacing up or putting on my Red Wing boots and lacing up. I got to slip into some Vans because I know I got to take her out to take a dump in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Right after I see that she peed on the floor, that's when I take her out. And so I'm wearing Vans, which is a very L.A. surfer dude style.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, it's okay. It's around the house.
You're still a few steps away from sandals, though. You haven't given up yet.
I am never wearing sandals. You'll never. This is as dressed down as you'll ever see me.
Yeah.
I'm not even wearing sweatpants. I'm in jeans and a nice sweater.
Yeah, I saw a guy in the grocery store with sandals on. It was just like, man, you gave up. They shouldn't even let you in here. And it wasn't like...
A sandal was made 5,000 years ago before they could make shoes, before they figured out how to enclose a foot in something. Jesus was walking around in sandals, not because he thought it looked good, because it's all they could make.
Yeah.
You don't need to walk around in sandals today when you're getting on a jet plane to fly you through the sky to another city. Get up to date. Wear the shoes that we figured out how to make.
Yeah, yeah. That's insane. I did. I left the store during the rain and just started hearing like a plastic scrape on the sidewalk, you know, like,
yeah.
Zit, 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 zit. And I looked, and it was this pug, a dog, and it had these plastic boots on each foot, so that the dog wouldn't get I guess they didn't have to clean the dog up, but you could just see the look on the dog's face, like,
see the, yeah, well, all right, this is good and bad. I understand now why a dog owner would want boots on a dog, because they go out and they get all cruddy, and you bring them in, you gotta dry them off. But isn't drying them off probably faster than taking off a dog booty as he's trying to bite your arm off because you humiliated him? What's funny about that is that person living in Los Angeles has had those booties in their closet for 3 years,
yeah,
unable to wear them, and finally gets to break out,
yeah,
the little dog booties.
That's the thing. Like, I had an umbrella somewhere, and I couldn't find it. And it was like, well, I'm not going to keep anything anymore, because the only reason I kept that thing is for, you know, the one time a year that it rains, and
yeah,
now that it rained 3 days in a row and I can't find it, I'm just because of principle, I'm not going to buy a new umbrella just because I already have one. I just don't know where it is.
It is funny. We all get to break out all our stuff. But listen, it's been raining like a monsoon forever, and then it was 40 degrees this morning. I swear I was going to go for a run.
Yeah.
Not because I'm vain, not because I feel like I got to get in shape, but because I got a little reminder card in the mail the other day that my next physical is a month away.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you go for physicals?
Yeah.
How often?
I just had one in January.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
This January?
Yep.
How'd you come out?
The first week. Good. I have to do like a couple just of the regular blood tests, but I'm sure, I mean.
Your blood pressure's good?
Yeah, yeah. Everything's pretty good, but
pretty good.
I think they figured out like my blood pressure used to be a little bit high and now it's not. So
I like how you went and have no information.
Well, no, it's never been like
it's like you're reporting on somebody, like a friend of yours' cousin who went, who said something at the bar.
The numbers seem good, Tom.
Everything was okay?
No, but you ever go to the doctor, like nowadays you'll have doctors that are like hyper, it's like the dentist thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like they always want to find something wrong with you so they can get you to buy something or fix something.
Sure.
Like, there isn't anybody that wouldn't have braces if it was up to a,
yes,
dentist, because they can always make it better. And that's what I think doctors, maybe it's just the climate of the health insurance, but a lot of these doctors don't like dealing with crap anymore. So it's like, unless you're bleeding from a certain orifice or something, it's like, you know what? You're okay.
Yeah. My guy's good. I got to go back. I gained a little weight, and I just haven't been working out because I know I sound so whiny, but it's because it's been raining.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been running as much. So I'm a little heavier than normal. And I was just like, you know what? I don't care if I'm heavier than normal. My blood pressure's good. I'm fine. I'm not going to. But now that I got to go back, I don't want to go back to my doctor heavier than I was last time. It's just kind of like a personal ego goal.
So it wouldn't get in your head at all if I told you that the hour that you use making the bread is that hour that you used to do yoga in.
No, because it's not an hour. I actually was writing the other day. I have a new rule that I don't do anything before noon. If you're going to meet me, we're not going to do it before noon. This podcast, we were not going to do it before noon. I need to write so many things right now. I need my whole morning set aside for writing. So that's my new rule. No writing before noon. And I've been sticking to it, and it's been really good. And I love it, and I'm going to really try and keep it.
So no brunch?
No brunch.
No breakfast?
No going out for breakfast. No meeting you for coffee. No donuts. No nothing. If someone wants to make an appointment, we can do it afternoon. Then I'm getting up at 6, 7 o'clock. That's, 5 hours of writing.
Right.
Has to be. So
that's a good, when did you come up with that? You just decided?
I came up with it about 3 months ago, and I half-ass was doing it until a week ago. I've been trying to, but if something came up, I was like, yeah, that'll be easier. I'll just do it then. I was just cheating, but now I'm not cheating. And over the last 2 days, having that peace of just doing it, it's just so valuable. So anyway, back to your point. I still have to make bread. I'm home. And the bread the dough has to be made so it can rise so I can make it later in the day. So I did time it. I was like, and I'll tell you another writing tip after this. So I got up and went, made the dough, cleaned it all up, came back, sat down, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And that leads me to my next thing. I can't believe you have to kind of, isn't it funny, like as a person, you have to teach yourself, you have to learn lessons and then like relearn them all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's why we talk about stand up all the time.
Yeah.
Because you have to constantly remind yourself of all of these little complex little moves and things that you have to do. Same thing with everything in life. With the writing, if I'm going to write that long, if I am going to try and push out 4 hours between my stand up and these scripts and whatever book, whatever things I got to write, to keep fresh and to keep writing all that time, which is an enormous amount of time, an enormous drain on your brain and your body, and it really is taxing.
Yeah.
To write an hour is like taking a shovel to the face. Mm-hmm. You got to get up and walk away for a minute. Take little breaks.
Right.
Get off your ass. Go over. Get some coffee. Talk to your dog. Do whatever you got to do. Just get up from the desk for a minute. 5 minutes and come back and go back at it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to kill yourself during those 5 hours is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's like being on a plane. Like they tell you, like you got to get up and stretch once in a while. Nobody does.
Right.
And that's why everyone dies of strokes as soon as they get into the airport. You got to get up and circulate and walk around and then you're fresh and you come back and you keep going. It's such a small, basic, dumb thing, but you have to do it.
But how much are you writing like actual handwriting and how much are you typing?
When I go off on my stand-up, when I'm not organizing sets or editing things, just literally writing new jokes and reworking some of the old joke, all notebook, handwriting, pen to paper.
And your writing's good enough that you can read everything?
I can read it. You could not read it.
Yeah.
I don't think you could read it. Here, let's do it. Here's my notebook.
Yours is pretty good compared to most people.
See what you can read. Now, I don't think so. Well, my family can't read it.
So be reasonable. You can say you cut cabs and meat and sugar and alcohol. I can get the gist of it. It's like reading Spanish.
That's
I get the general idea of what you're trying to say.
You can say, so be reasonable. You can say you can cut carbs and meat and sugar and alcohol, or you can be honest and fair with yourself and realize you're eating all of those things because you're a person who's trying to enjoy themselves and do their best and sometimes gets sad and just needs a goddamn cookie. I could almost not.
That is pretty good, because that's the one thing that I really miss about handwriting everything. We're the organization's still going on back at my place.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been going through notebooks, and you know how you read something, they're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't seen that in a while, and then I remembered that thought, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. Uh-huh. like, I think that's what's missing when you type it, because you don't have that, like that Woody Allen thing of, did you see when he types everything out?
Yeah.
And then even to fix it, he has these little scraps of paper that he cuts, and then he staples over, and yeah. then he types over it. Like, he does everything like just by the typewriter.
Like, literally cut and paste.
Yeah, so, right. so like, you're so invested in all of the words when you just, you know, I
No, it does. It slows it down. I think when you go with the computer, you kind of spit things out. But it all depends on where your head's at that day, doesn't mm-hmm. it? I mean, there are some times when I keep up with the computer, like, I feel like when I'm writing, like, longer stuff, like, I have to work on this book. So when I'm writing that, and I just want to get that first draft out.
You just want to get it out.
I just want to go quickly and go. Yeah. I couldn't do that. Right. I could not write a book with my hand. There's mm-hmm. no way. I don't hold it well. It's hard.
Yeah.
There's no way. So I think it's good for that. But then you do have to go back and edit and rework it all the time because, you know, a lot of it's going to be garbage. But
if you even think about, like, let's say you write it out by hand and you're already scratching out some stuff. And then if you have to actually type it in yourself, mm-hmm. then you're making all those fixes as you're typing it in there.
This is all tending to it. I really believe that that's our job more than anything. It's like when people ask, like, do you write every day? I do. But mm-hmm. they picture you're writing a brand new thought and a brand new joke every time you're touching that pen to the paper.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is just tending to it.
Yeah.
Just open it up. And like you said, if it means organizing it, if it means rewriting something, if it means just moving something, if it means just reading something.
Yeah.
This is all keeping you present. You're going to work on it.
Yeah.
Your subconscious is working on it. You're actively working on it. You just have to sit with it, have it open in front of you, and mm-hmm. you'll get something done.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. I mean, there's certain days when you'll sit down and, yes, that what you think of as writing will happen, and you'll get a bunch of pages, and it'll be wonderful. But a lot of times, it's sitting there and, like, baby steps and just changing this little tiny thing, but it's all under the umbrella of writing.
Yeah.
And I think you can't beat yourself up, and you just have to accept that even doing something that seems small and stupid mm-hmm. is still writing.
Yeah.
Not doing it is when you get in trouble.
Right.
When you think that, oh, I have nothing, I don't feel that great,
right.
I feel like a moron, and I'm not even going to open the book, and you don't even look at it, you don't tend to it, that's when you're not writing.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more preachy comedian writing tips right after this.
Well, my rule is going to be no work before midnight. I'm going to do Hemingway.
Ooh.
I'm just writing midnight to 4 every day.
Is that what he did?
Something like that, yeah.
He wrote standing up.
Did he really?
Yeah.
People do that. They have standing desks now.
Yeah, he had like an easel like an architect would use.
Yeah.
And he would write standing up, which is probably why he got the gout and shot himself.
Well, I have a friend who I played basketball in college with who he's a teacher, but he became a horror writer, novelist.
Uh-huh.
So he has kids, and he posts on Facebook every day, so I know he does it. He gets up at, I think, 3 in the morning and writes from 3 to 6 because that's when it's quiet in the house.
Wow.
Before he goes to work, and he does it every day.
I love reading. If you, the Paris Review, which is all like interviews with writers, it's been around for...
Yeah, the George Plimpton thing.
Forever. Right? And I like reading how people write, their stupid habits,
yeah.
what kind of books they use, what kind of pens they use. I love, it's so crazy. Everyone has this crazy
yeah.
way to deal with it.
Right.
It's fascinating. I can never, just seeing photos of where people write, all of it is I love it.
Well, that's why it was so cool to, when I used to read books, even about like Hemingway, I would always read the back page that talked about the author.
Yeah.
And it would be like, he was in 3 wars, he was a boxer, and he survived 4 plane crashes. Like, well, I want to read that book. Like, I don't...
Right, exactly.
I always thought the writer's lives... Like, F. Scott Fitzgerald, if he wrote a book just about himself, would be so much better than
yeah.
The Great Gatsby.
Than The Great Gatsby would be.
But that's what... That's what the one thing that suffers from your balloon story.
Because we're rebooting the podcast, you could hear some leaf blowers in the back, which I tried to get this over with before, so you didn't have to hear that interruption. But also, my family's rolling back into town. How did you do? Did you get, how was your doctor's appointment? Did you get an antibiotic?
She got an ice cream.
You just have a really bad cold?
Yeah, I'm like, but I can't breathe.
Oh.
Yeah, but you can technically go to school.
Like, oh, really?
So there's no medicine.
No medicine.
They said that, like, you could try Mucinex or Dayquil or
Nyquil,
any of those, like.
Yeah. Just anything you to get you through.
Because that will, like, open you up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
that's what's going around. Everybody says that they've... That's what Steve had next door. He said for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My friend Cheryl, the same thing. We got to stay healthy, Paul. We got shows to do.
I think Bella can tell that you're sick. She's definitely staying away.
It's so funny that the dog isn't getting up. That's how tired she is. It's hilarious. Well, that's okay, Lean. So then you can go back to school. You don't need to breathe in school. You know, honestly, when I watch people like newscasters, they have to go to work, they have to do the news, mm-hmm. and they've got like the flu,
yeah.
they've got like a really bad cold, and you see them, they're like a little stuffed up, but they just go through it, they're just doing it, you know they're miserable.
Yeah.
But you just got to plow through. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, those are most of my jobs, because I was an anchor, and I was like, I never missed
no
one of those, because it was me, like, and I all I had to do was do it for 5 minutes, so it was like
yeah.
a big thing.
Oh,
if school was only
brutal.
5 minutes, you would go, and then
I understand why the doctor says that it's a cold and we're not giving you medicine, you got to ride it out, but it's still a phlegmy thing. I don't know why you're currently holding a giant barrel of ice cream.
No, but you see, it's frozen yogurt.
That's dairy, isn't it? I'm not giving you any sympathy. That's it. Go to school. And,
I think you should just
yeah.
find activities where you don't have to breathe, like swimming or other things that you
yeah.
if you can't breathe, then just do stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. There is a big thing going around. Did you hear? Oh no, I can't tell this story. I can't. I don't want to get into this at all. But I know a couple stories from this year that people got extremely sick from the flu shot.
Oh yeah,
like a complete crazy complications and stuff.
I've just never been into that. That's
I
too
took
scary.
I took it once and got the flu. It was the only year I got the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Was when I had the flu shot.
Oh really?
Yeah, and I'm not. You know, I know everybody has their own stories and their own things to advocate for, but personally, until I'm old and they're like, if you do get the flu this year, it could kill you.
Yeah,
I'm not touching that stuff.
Where are you on shingles?
I currently have shingles, and it's very uncomfortable, but not as bad as our producer who just came down with chiggers.
Yeah, that's
did you hear
worst.
What happened to our marketing guy here at Come to Papa?
No.
Oh, this is a horrible story. He, you know, when you're going up an escalator and you tell kids, make sure that you tie your shoes, keep your shoes
yeah.
tied because you don't want to get caught in the escalator. Well, our marketing guy, who was really really pretty great, he's responsible for sending all of our marketing materials out. He's been just a crackerjack part of the operation. He was at the mall and going, he was probably on his phone tweeting about us.
Mm-hmm.
Shoes untied, on the escalator, gets caught, ground him into chopped beef.
No.
Yeah. It was like, they said it was like a human being going through a meat grinder. And they brought it to Chick-fil-A and made it into patties. So at
Jesus.
Least he, because he was an organ donor. But we don't have a marketing director anymore. God rest
his
soul.
That's a rough one.
Yeah. It was hard.
Didn't know that one was going to end so badly. Now we got to start from scratch.
Yeah. Well, so if anybody out there knows anything about marketing podcasts, we're currently number, or I think we finished number 60 in the top 100 podcasts
yeah.
this week. So we're moving up.
We're climbing the charts.
But now that our marketing guy's dead, we could fall a couple units this week.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
$200 an hour? You're fired. Have you ever seen The Smoking Monkey, Paul?
The Smoking Monkey?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
In my hand is the smoking monkey. When I was a child living in New Jersey, I was on a family trip and we were driving down the New Jersey Turnpike and I saw in a vending machine. They used to have weird vending machines before people had real entertainment. Mm-hmm. Now you can be entertained on your phone. There's entertainment all over the place. When I was a child, there was just three television stations and they broadcast an hour and a half total each day. Mm-hmm. There was no entertainment. A comic book, maybe, a slingshot. People played jacks. there was a vending machine that would sell not just toys and things. It would be amusements. And in selling these amusements, there was like weird things in there, like little funny little games and things. One of those things was a smoking monkey in a vending machine on the New Jersey Turnpike. And it's a little plastic monkey, and it came with cigarettes, little cigarettes that you put in his mouth, and you could watch the monkey smoke. As a child, of course, I couldn't get the smoking monkey. My mother wouldn't buy me anything that was smoking because she didn't want me to be peer pressured by the monkey into starting my own habit of nicotine.
Yeah, because if the monkey's smoking, I got to smoke.
Of course. I see your point. So when we were able to drive in high school, there were two places I needed to go. One was White Castle on my own to buy those disgusting burgers because I just had to. The other thing was to get in my car with my friends and drive an hour and a half down the New Jersey Turnpike and buy my own smoking monkey because I was becoming a man. I bought it. We brought it home. We set him up on the table. We put a cigarette in his mouth. And I am not kidding that this monkey puffs like a woman working at the bowling alley for 20 years behind the counter named Carol. This monkey smoked.
Yeah.
I've been in love with it forever since, and my family found one, and all these years later reunited me with the smoking monkey. And I hold in my hand a monkey who smokes.
Right.
maybe we'll put it up on Facebook Live. We'll get the smoking monkey going.
Yeah, that's funny.
I think there are cigarettes in my cigar box, which I will fish out. I'm excited beyond belief that you've never seen this.
But that's the actual thing?
This is the monkey.
Where does the cigarette go?
In his mouth. See, he has a little mouth hole. It goes in his mouth.
Oh, I was thinking like actual life-size cigarettes.
No, monkey-size cigarettes. Fake monkey-size cigarettes.
I thought it was like maybe a marketing thing by the cigarette companies to sell cigarettes to toys.
No. No. Someone get the dog.
Bella's back.
Get Bella away from Paul. He's trying to podcast. She was really great. She was knocked out for a while.
You just need her to not dart away from the...
There she goes.
Okay, she got it.
There she goes. I can't wait to show you the smoking monkey. It's a wonder. I can't believe they're not more popular. It puffs away like a little guy at the races.
But I wonder how this ever came about. That somebody
It's called magic,
it.
Paul. It's called magic. Same way that I have a ghost in my house that came from the war. That's magic. That's dealing with something in a dimension beyond what we know as normal and can sense. The same way that I have that World War II veteran still living in my home and walking the halls at night, so lives the smoking monkey.
I just don't understand why your mom wouldn't let you get it.
Because she didn't love me. Probably she didn't have 75 cents.
Peer pressure into watching a plastic monkey smoke things.
That would be a good business to start bringing back old-fashioned vending machines.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the pre-podcast, and I think it's worth mentioning. I was last night looking online at, because, you know, I came into some money this football season because of my good luck and good skills. I'm looking for silly things to spend my winnings on.
Last year was Apple Watch.
I bought an Apple Watch last year, which I still have and I still enjoy. The other thing is... I was looking at Pac-Man machines last night. Donkey Kongs, Asteroids.
To have your own console.
Oh. Because as a child, that was your ultimate. That was the thing. That's what Richie Rich had.
Yeah, the goal of any movie that had a rich kid in it, they had their own Pac-Man machine.
Yeah, but it seems stupid. I can get a Xbox for $300.
Yeah.
$300. You can get the top of the line Xbox.
But then you gotta buy the game for $100 and buy online, play for another. I don't know. It seems complicated.
I'm not playing any of these games, but just to think about, it seems like a good thing to do. Get a new Xbox.
I almost bought, like, because you know how they can do the old, like, Atari consoles and stuff like that? You can do all the old games now, so.
I know, but who needs all those old games? Those old games, you know, they were fun at the time. When were you in school, 1935?
Yeah.
Right. You wouldn't see Donkey Kong in 1935 was a big deal.
You wouldn't want to play Space Invaders or...
To be honest, even when I was that age, I wasn't that great at it. I would go a couple screens, and then that's it. That's my problem with all these games. It's too much work to get really good at it, so I just bail out.
Yeah.
Any of these games where you, like, I played Assassin's Creed with my daughter. Really cool graphics. You're a pirate, and you're, like, swimming through the ocean, and you're stabbing guys in Cuba in the neck with your sword. That's fun. And then you get to a point where you got to sneak onto a ship and kill all the bad guys.
Yeah.
Well, it takes an hour to figure out how to climb on the ship. Then you get up there and you get stabbed in the throat immediately.
Yeah.
Then it takes you another half hour to figure out how you're going to start killing everybody. Excuse me. By the time you figure out how to kill these guys, I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I can't. It's too much time invested.
But don't you have any game, like, is there an app of some kind of game that you play, like the Scrabble one or the... Because you know one I've been playing is Wheel of Fortune. That one, it's kind of like you can do it for a couple minutes at any time, and it's just kind of like a time waster.
On your phone, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's an app.
Apps, now you're talking. An app game I'm good with. You know what I downloaded the other day when I got depressed that Donald Trump was doing something terrible already? I downloaded Angry Birds.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was such a great game.
Yeah,
they're still coming out with new editions of it. Like, why do I have to listen to him making me sad and uptight when I can just go try and kill some angry pigs?
Yeah, Well, I jumped the shark on the when they went Star Wars Angry Birds. I got a little weird.
I know, but it's such a mindless app thing.
Yeah.
You can play for 5 minutes and then you're on. You're not investing all this time like, oh, I've got to go through 7 hours of Assassin's Creed before I get to the end. And then you do get to the end and then what? What happens then? Nothing.
You're a real assassin?
Yeah, you're a real assassin. The movie makes sense to you?
Yeah, that's why the Wheel of Fortune is so good. It's like, that's a game that everybody played. You can kind of be stupid or get lucky or just guess. And then when you guess it right, you feel good.
Yeah.
And so, that's my mindless game that I play.
That's
now.
A good one. I can get that. I might get that one.
People
on my
do
phone.
Scrabble too, but that even seems a little too complicated for me.
Yeah, it's a little deep. You're really investing. You know, I don't like to talk politics too much on our podcast. We find it as a respite from all of the insanity of things out there in the world. But why in his second day does Donald Trump have to go after the Indians?
I don't know. What do you do?
Haven't we beaten up the Indians enough? Haven't we spent an entire history of just going across the land, lying to them, telling them we'll be their friends, and then killing them in the night, and then taking everything that they have. In 2017, when you have real Indians, Native Americans, on the plains of South Dakota, saying, please, don't run this oil stuff through our waters. Can we just have that? Can we just have this little running water? Why does the new president, after the Army Corps of Engineers, says everything's cool, why does he come to the realization that there are more Native Americans out there that haven't been effed with?
Yeah.
And let's go screw these guys. Why? Why is that one of the first things you do?
It's terrible.
It's disgusting. It almost, to me, and you know I love reading about this stuff. I'm obsessed with not to the point of being a buff about it, but I've read a good amount and traveled through those parts of the country where, you know, Bury Me at Wounded Knee and these great books that really just show how vicious it was, this genocide of Native Americans. It's just so horrible. They take this peaceful, and not all peaceful, of course. There was, you just take people and destroy them so mm-hmm. we can put up our Jamba Juice. that, like, if he does nothing else, I don't care what he, I don't want to read about you. I don't care what you do with, keep me out of wars. I stop. I don't want to deal with you. Just that you did this, just mm-hmm. that you do this to Native Americans, anybody that Fs with these people, that says everything.
Yeah.
That says, spiritually, mentally, says everything about you as a person.
Right.
It's just greed. It's just money. We don't need more of it. Everything's running fine. We're not desperate. We're not in war times where we need this oil sands or we're going to go under. It's just so more people can get rich. And yeah. you as the leader of the country.
Well, so five
after it's been settled, you come in 2 days, you just reverse that.
Yeah.
You know what? I hope it's like King Tut's tomb. I hope you screw with that, the spirits get you.
Yeah.
Like the smoking monkey and the World War II ghost that lives in my house. I hope a Native American ghost creeps into his bedroom in the White House and takes him from behind.
Yeah, that is like the most terrible thing is, so we did all these horrible things to the Native Americans, and then we did the least we could do.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, give them some land back. So we begrudgingly gave them
yeah.
the crappiest little land in the crappiest places.
Right, awful parts of a reservation.
Yeah, and now it just so happens that some of those places have oil yeah. or
a pathway,
anything in it.
Right.
And we're trying to take that back even and say, hey, we'll give you this other stuff or whatever. And even with the casinos, like, they found a way that they could actually make the money back from us
yeah.
through a loophole. And that's a legal battle in every state. So it's
disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a stain on what I love of this country. There's so much positive stuff, but that and slavery are just these very, and they're just dark, 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 dark periods in our history that resonate forever through time. So if you have any opportunity to like reverse that and make it okay for people,
yeah.
just don't in 2017 mess with Native Americans.
Right, right.
We've gone through so much. Grade kids know. Grade kids are learning like how awful we were. Just that's your first move
yeah.
is just, I can't. All right, enough with the politics. I can't even, as my girl's friend, as my teenage girl's friends say, I can't even. I can't even. I can't. I can't even. I'm thinking about quitting comedy for a month and going to bread school.
Bread school?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very like pathfindery. Like, aren't you doing your own thing here? You don't need to learn what other people are teaching.
You're saying I should just keep, I'm self-taught and I should keep doing it?
Do it on your own. They're only going to teach you how to make it worse.
Yeah, you might be right. They might mess with my head. You know, there is this one process in making sourdough bread where they, whenever you're using an organic starter, that it's called an autolyse, mm-hmm. where it's this one step where you let the flour soak up water, basically, before you move into the next phase. I've never used that step. I don't see the point in doing that step. I tried that step after reading it in a book, and it messed everything up. I just feel like you're right. Sometimes learning what other people did is stupid. Aren't there people that learn like guitar? Like Richie Havens plays with his thumb.
Yeah.
He's dead now, I think, right? Didn't he just pass?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think he might have. I don't know. He was amazing. Or still is. He just he has giant long fingers. He's a giant grasshopper looking guy. And he like played with his thumb on the neck.
Right.
And no one teaches that.
Yeah.
He just picked up guitar and started learning how to play guitar by himself. And he became an innovator. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
Tom,
it's like
be a bred innovator. Well, don't be a follower.
Yeah, that's if you're gonna go to an original place, you don't need to go. Like if you're, unless you're trying to make a specific thing or learn a specific skill.
Yeah.
Like, is there something that you want to make that you can't make right now?
Yeah.
There is what?
In bread?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
Bread bowls? What are you trying to... you want to shape
I mean,
it?
I could learn... Look, you could learn from... I opened up a book and just... You know how my bread went from like pretty good to amazing in like a week? Just because I learned from this one book to use time and temperature as ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Just that using really... Not just, oh, and put that in for 20 minutes. No, really consider how hot you are and how long you're going in these different stages. And once I did that and dialed in on that, It came out so much better. So, look, I can still learn a lot of things, let's be honest. But if you're trying to get me to not go to bread school because you don't want to be friends with someone who goes to bread school, that I understand.
I'm just saying you're going to lose your street cred because everyone who's a fan of your bread right now knows you've done this on your own through a natural organic process. And now to quit making people laugh, the gift that you've been given, and to learn how to make bread, what, a little bit better? What are you going to make? Italian bread? What?
Maybe a dark rye?
Yeah, I don't think you need rye.
What about a marble multigrain with bacon?
I mean, I don't know.
Now you're thinking
about it. A month of your life?
Where I wake up at 3 a.m, put on my apron, get some Crocs. I'm going to need Crocs. I'm going to have to sleep in like a extra room of the guy that runs the bakery.
That's when the real drinking begins. Those guys don't do that sober.
Yeah, you're right. Smoke a lot of weed, get really drunk, and start making bread. No, I can't go that long, but maybe I can go for a weekend somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe learn a little that way.
I think it's still worth collaborating, but I think you're selling yourself short when you think you got to go to school. I think you're at a point now where...
Makes sense.
Maybe a chef... I'm not saying...
A chef friend, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not saying Bobby Flay is going to say, hey, Tom, tell me your ideas about bread, but, you know, maybe somebody that has... I don't know the bread community all that well, Tom. I don't know who's big, who's got all the pull.
I'm probably the biggest guy in the bread game right now. Let's be honest. All right, we got to get out of here. Let's check out our tweets before we do. All of our good people who have been sending us not only good bread tweets, but other little tidbits of information. Someone asked, Tom, do you use dry or fresh yeast? How about sourdough starter? Like, what do you think? I'm going to use commercial yeast in my bread? Siouxsheck? No, I don't use commercial yeast. I am a man of the earth. I use natural stuff. Ron Hancock said, I bet all of your cuffed pants are full of breadcrumbs. Oh, he must have seen the feed from before because my pants were cuffed because I was running in the mud with my dog because that's what I do now. I realized that... does it smell like a dog when you come in my house now?
I don't notice it now.
No? Interesting. My theory is that it does smell like a dog, which I always swore I would never smell like, but that you love the animal so much you don't care that you smell like a dog. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're putting up with your own stench because of the happiness the dog gives to you.
Exactly. Someone's JF Harris said Red Oaks is the best. Great work. That's a TV show that I work on Amazon. Go check that out. It's really good. Another one, a non-affiliated plug, Schitt's Creek on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Amazon created it, but it's on Amazon. And Eugene Levy and his son Dave Levy created it. It's so damn funny. And
yeah.
Your buddy Chris Elliott plays the mayor of
Schitt's Creek. Oh, right. I did see that. I haven't watched it yet.
It's really funny. It really makes me laugh.
Okay,
Catherine O'Hara is just brilliant, and the girl who plays the daughter on it is so damn funny. I forget her name, and the person who runs the hotel, the whole thing. It's one of my favorites right now.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I did the Jonathan Katz show at Sketchfest, Dr. Katz. That was amazing. I got some good tweets off of that. People seem to enjoy it, which was a big deal for me because I love that show, the Dr. Katz show. Dr. Katz Live, it was so much fun, and it was like a little bit of a showbiz goal. This is how silly comedians are, but I just think he's so funny, and his show was so great on Comedy Central for so many years, but I was just starting out. I didn't have a chance to get on that show.
So can they animate you, like in post-production?
Oh, that
can
would
they
be
do
so
it?
Much fun if they could, if they could. I did Fitzdog Radio. I went and saw my good buddy Greg Fitzsimmons last week. We talked about being codependent, which I'm not going to get into now, but I think that might be what's wrong with me. Someone was asking where I'm playing. Oh, someone asked for a picture of the ghost, which I posted on Twitter, and they couldn't believe how creepy it was. Hey, Tom, what are the chances you post the ghost picture? I did. And it's up there. Go to my feed on Twitter and you can see it. And on Facebook. Joe Rogan and I did a show. I did Joe Rogan's show at the Ice House, which is hilarious and fun. And, of course, he sells out his shows all the time. Jonathan Flores, he said, I tried to make my own bread. What I strive to make, picture of perfect bread, versus what actually happened. And it was what can be only described as an all-white pasty tumor. That was how his bread came out. It's so sad. I hope I wish you luck, Jonathan. I think I responded to this and gave you some tips. I hope your bread comes out better. Bread like pizza, it's like it still tastes great. There's no such thing as bad pizza. I would not have eaten that bread. His bread looks literally disgusting. Paul.
Yes.
We did two podcasts today.
We did.
People get one on Facebook Live, and people get one that they're listening to in their ear holes right now.
We're earning their loyalty.
I'm tired.
Yeah, it feels like real work.
It feels like we really did something. This is how much we care. We just kept going.
Yeah.
We could do a two-hour show. Would you guys like to listen to a two-hour show? Why not? Why not go 2 hours?
Yeah, those guys.
It's a little deeper. It's a little better. I mean, if I like something, I want more of it.
Yeah, whenever you do Rogan, how long does he do?
3.
Yeah. That
like a regular radio show.
Right.
I don't think I have 3 in me.
Yeah.
But I could go an hour and a half, 2.
Yeah, and especially when people are chiming in a little bit, telling us what's going on or what to talk
with
about.
The,
it's
with
fun.
The peoples? Yeah. Why not? All right, but not today because I got stuff to do.
That's right.
We love you all. Go to TomPapa.com. You'll catch Paul and I. We're out on tour this weekend, the following weekend. We have a lot of dates going on. Come see us. Maybe we'll bring some bread. Maybe we won't. And that's it, kids. Thanks and enjoy your life.